this sky bound with the talking jokers. Everyone calm down, we're here to talk comics, and it's skybound with the talking jokers. Everyone calm down, we're here to talk comics, skybound.
Hey, 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 it's me, Mark, and welcome to Talking Joe with a quick bit of exciting news. Tim, this is probably breaking right for you because you might not have seen the mail that I just forwarded, but Yojo, new G.I. Joe miniseries, Scarlet and Destro coming from Skybound, Image and Hasbro.
Oh, wow, yeah. And see how many minutes ago... Skybound.
It was literally 5 minutes ago.
Sent this out. So we were we half right and double right when we guessed what would be the follow up miniseries?
Did I say Scarlet and Destro? I said a boy and a girl, and a Joe and a Cobra, or a goodie and a baddie.
I think I suggested two males, and then. But maybe I said Destro and Baroness. And then you said, oh yeah, or maybe Zartan.
And we are expecting there to be two more minis before the big G.I. Joe title starts as an ongoing. So before too very long, we'll probably find out what the next two minis might be.
I'm going to guess one of them is Baroness.
Second guess?
Destro?
Yeah, I mean, in the odds, I think those two would be in there. I think it will definitely be one of the... I think we'll probably have another G.I. Joe and another Cobra, and it's likely to be one of the heavy hitters. G.I. Joe, my best guess at the moment is Hawk. If not Hawk, my second bet would be Scarlet. And then on the Cobra side, yeah, Destro seems like a good bet. Yeah, I think between those names, we probably got them.
Okay, so Scarlet is going to be written by Kelly Thompson, who wrote a great about 15-issue run on Black Widow about 3 years ago.
She's got form in writing redheads.
Kelly Thompson has also written about 50 issues of Captain Marvel. Marvel has republished those in skinny graphic novels, two or three in one, like complete graphic novels, and I believe there's an omnibus coming.
And Birds of Prey and Hawkeye, female Hawkeye. So she's got form in terms of writing
Birds of Prey, Birds of Prey that's running right now as we speak. The DC, the Dawn of DC series that is on issue 6 or so right now. This series, this Scarlet miniseries. Ah, oh, look at that! Look at that! Look at the negative space in the A of the logo. It's a little arrowhead
For an arrowhead. Clever.
Because Scarlet shoots crossbow bolts.
Imagine that, having an arrowhead in your A. Sounds painful.
So this series will be drawn by Marco Ferrari, who I'm not immediately familiar with. We did carry Frontiersmen, an Image series, at my store. It didn't make a huge splash. And this series is colored by Lee Lowridge, who colored a lot of material for Vertigo 20 years ago, and sort of for me is best known as the colorist of Gotham Central, which was the Gotham Police series co-written by Brubaker and Rucka. Lowridge to me is that style of very simple, flat colors, limited palette, just, you know, two or three colors per scene, and often the color changes from one scene to the next. Did Lee Lowridge colored the beginning of Deadly Class, right? Haven't I talked about Lee Lowridge?
Right,
and Deadly
I think
Class?
You've mentioned it before, yeah. So, Scarlet is out June the 5th, 2024. That's this year.
Can I read Kelly Thompson's quote from the PR? I'm fortunate that, thanks to my job, I often get to dig into characters and worlds that I've loved for a long time. But G.I. Joe Scarlet is truly one of my first geek loves as a kid, and I'm absolutely thrilled to have a hand in building her for this new, incredibly cool, and rich universe at Skybound.
Over on Kelly Thompson's Substack page, 1979 semi-finalist, it's called, she reminds us, because we overlooked this, that actually the issue one will be $4.99 and it will be an oversized issue, just like we saw with Duke and Cobra Commander. And she adds, while you all know that I've got a fondness, weakness for redheads, I confess that Scarlet is probably the first redhead I ever loved. And not to dramatically overshare, but Scarlet / Snake Eyes was probably my first real ship before any of us knew what that meant. Bizarre. And also just really cool that I get to have this job charting a path for this character that I have loved since I was a child. And then returning back to the press release, artist Marco Ferrari says, I'm very excited to join the Scarlet team and to use every tool in my toolbox to bring her to life in the new series. I can't wait for everyone to dive into Scarlet's mission with us. So what do they tease? Shana Scarlet O'Hara is about to take on the most dangerous Black Ops mission of her career, infiltrating the mysterious rising power in Japan known as the Arashikage Clan. Her one lead is her former partner, Jinx, another female, a woman, turned Arashikage enforcer. Now Scarlet must use her operative skills to survive undercover and discover a shocking weapon that could change the balance of power on Earth. And that issue number one, A cover by Marco Ferrari, does prominently feature an Arashikage logo. I was kind of expecting, with all of this talk of not using Snake Eyes, that the Arashikage might be left on the bench for a little while longer. So I'm a little bit surprised that it's being introduced into the Energon universe so early, but there we have it. We've got a cover B by Joel Jones, which is looking lively.
Joel Jones is best known for a Dark Horse pair of miniseries, Lady Killer, and a short but great run on Catwoman about 4 years ago.
Then we've got cover C. It will be a 1 in 10, which will be another connecting cover. They do like their connecting covers over at Skybound Energon Universe. This one is Scarlet on a motorcycle from Gleb Melnikov, rather. Cover D is a familiar kind of package style fire burst behind the lead character. This is a 1 in 25 by Steve Epting again. And then we've got a cover E, 1 in 50 spoiler cover. As well as a cover F, 1 in 100 copy incentive foil by John Boy Myers, another spoiler. And get this, a cover G, 1 in 250 copy incentive cardstock cover by David Mack. And we've got some interior pages as well, which I know, Tim, you'll probably want to kind of leave for later, but just as a very quick gloss over, it's giving a bit of a spy type vibe.
In terms of the covers, this is matching the rollout for Duke and Cobra Commander. Issue 1, 5 variants, up to a 1 in 250. So that's not a surprise. That's just an expensive reveal. I'm scrolling past the pages with my eyes sort of squinted, so I don't get any major spoilers.
Just getting a bit of turquoise. So, and then the other one is being launched is Destro, the same month. It will launch on June the 19th, 2024, from acclaimed writer Dan Waters of Loki, Universal Monsters, Creature from the Black Lagoon Lives fame, and artist André Bressan, who recently worked on Dark Ride and Birthright.
Dan Waters has also written a bunch of stuff at DC in the last few years. Lucifer, some Night Terrors, which was that sort of event from the summer, some Detective Comics backups. There was that, what was it called? Arkham City Order of the World miniseries. Did I say Lucifer? This logo type, in the same way that the Scarlet logo type says something about Scarlet, sort of reflects something of her personality or visual, so too does the Destro. It is in a harder geometric font, and it has a metallic sheen on it, which suggests armor and Destro's mask. Even though it, and then the logo itself is red, which is, of course, his major highlight color.
Indeed. So what do they say about this? James McCullen Destro, the 24th XXIV, is the man behind Mars Industries, the undisputed leader in providing high-tech weapons to world powers for the right price. But the emergence of Energon has changed everything. As Destro's ambitions grow, the Crimson Twins, Tomax and Zaymot Powley, reusing a surname there introduced in the Cobra series, emerge to destroy their competition. And Cobra Commander realizes his current ally could be his future greatest enemy. What does Dan Walters have to say, Tim?
Dan Waters says, scrolling. I'm incredibly excited to bring Destro to life with Andre. This is going to be a visceral, explosive thriller in which Destro isn't very nice to anyone at all. Everything you'd want from your favorite amoral arms trafficker.
Hmm. And Andre Bressan, the artist, says, I just can't wait to see what Dan has planned for Destro. I'm pretty excited because everything going on with the Energon universe so far has been bonkers. And Destro, he's just a bad beep, ready to kill and destroy. So this is rounding out the lineup of four G.I. Joe miniseries, introducing the iconic characters of G.I. Joe and Cobra into the Energon universe, joining Duke and Cobra Commander. So these miniseries promise to set the stage for a fresh new take on G.I. Joe, Cobra, and the iconic characters that you only think you know in a shared universe with Transformers and Void Rivals.
I'm just going to, I did look at the final page of the Destro interior unlettered preview, and I'm excited to see a Marvel crossover on this final page as General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross shows up.
It does somewhat look like that, doesn't it? If not him, then maybe Miles Mayhem. Yeah, so it's looking like we're going to see a sort of bat-centric first issue featuring the bats against... General Ross.
I'll make two more quick visual reactions. Destro on the main cover A is holding a gold AK-47 in the cover image, and then also in the corner box image across all the covers is holding some kind of golden gun. Hmm. So whether that is a James Bond, Ian Fleming reference, because Destro feels like he could come from that world, or something new and specific for this Destro motivation and story. I don't know, but that is a specific visual which is touched upon more than once in this preview.
The Destro classified figure does come with a golden gun, so I think it's probably echoing that to some degree.
Mystery solved, and it wasn't a mystery at all.
So Destro 1 cover, they gone straight to cover C. Destro cover C is a 1 in 10 copy incentive. And again, a connecting cover from Nicola Szymeska. Interesting Eastern European sounding name there, with Destro looming over some Iron Grenadiers. Cover E is a 1 in 50 by George Fornes, a sort of very heavy on the design and sort of dotted effects.
It's several images broken up as if they are panels.
Hmm. We've got cover F as a 1 in 100 from John Boy Myers. Cover G, 1 in 250 from David Mack. And cover H is a blank cover. Or I wonder if that is that the cover B. There's a missing cover B that we've not got in this. But anyway,
That must mean It's either a mistake in assembling this press release email, or they didn't actually have it ready.
Maybe. So then the only other thing we have is a quote from Sean Makowitz, the SVP publisher Skybound, who says Duke and Cobra Commander were two of the highest selling G.I. Joe comics of all time, and they're only the start of our new beginning for the amazing G.I. Joe franchise. With G.I. Joe and Cobra now locked on an unavoidable collision course, Scarlet and Destro will introduce new characters and factions that will disrupt their most carefully laid plans. Kelly Thompson, Marco Ferrari, Dan Waters, and my favourite madman, André Bressan, are crafting action-packed, jaw-dropping comics that will forever change the Energon universe.
Just as a quick reaction, that is a true fact that the first two miniseries are two of the highest-selling G.I. Joe comics of all time. But you do have to slice that a certain way, because for much of the history of G.I. Joe comics, there were not ratio variants. And there certainly weren't 1 in 250 ratio variants for debut issues, which might encourage some retailers and collectors to really buy a lot. You could also counter that the single issue market, separate from ratio variants, is very different in 2023, 2024 than it was 10 years ago, 35 years ago. So this is technically true, but it also does represent today's reality of single issues for ill and for good.
One of my high-level reactions to this is surprise that that we're seeing two different writers and it isn't Joshua Williamson continuing to kind of shepherd the entire G.I. Joe part of the universe. Was it a surprise for you, Tim? Did you think that we'd see Josh doing the whole thing?
Yes, I have the same reaction as you, but I was flipping through DC Connect a few days ago, which is the monthly DC previews catalog, and I was sort of surprised all over again by how many titles Joshua Williamson writes. And I, you know, when we last mentioned him and we were sort of counting on our fingers, we mentioned Green Arrow, but I'd also forgotten, is it Batman Brave and the Bold?
Is it Batman and Robin that he's doing?
Yeah, sorry. It's some team up book. And then there was something else.
He's doing a lot. He said that he didn't really have bandwidth to do Cobra Commander on top of everything else, but the idea just sort of intrigued him so much that he didn't want anyone else to do it, essentially.
Yeah, and I think in the same way that you have, you know, several X-Men writers talking with an X-Men editor and some X-Men assistant editors, and they're coordinating for an upcoming launch, and then week in and day in and week out and day out as the series progress. And then, you know, 6 months or a year later, some of the books cross over or all of them cross over. And so a writer might spend more time dealing with that because there are other people to talk to. At the same time, I feel like Skybound says to Joshua Williamson, do you want to handle G.I. Joe? This is conjecture on my part. He says, yes, I'll do Duke. They say, how about Cobra Commander? He says, oh, I don't really have time, but I'll squeeze it in. And he's sort of looking ahead to what we think is called Codename G.I. Joe. And Skybound says, well, there's also these other two miniseries. Mm-hmm. And Williamson says, again, this is conjecture, I don't have time. And so Skybound says, all right, we'll pull in a writer or two. We'll make sure it works with what you're doing. We'll keep you in the loop. So Williamson is not any kind of editor on the Scarlet and Destro miniseries. This is still conjecture, but he knows what's happening. He can say, oh yeah, why don't you do this? Or, oh wait, don't do that yet. I was going to do something similar. Or the editor knows everything that he's doing and speaks for him. So I am surprised, but based on actual workload, yeah, this makes sense. I would be surprised if the regular monthly G.I. Joe book isn't him after the four miniseries are done. I feel like everything has been setting him up for that.
So after these minis, we're expecting to get an ongoing G.I. Joe book. We're expecting it's probably going to be called Codename G.I. Joe.
To differentiate it from Hama's A Real American Hero.
And based on us having these launches here, a goodie comic and a baddie comic in two waves. What do you think is the likelihood of there being a G.I. Joe title, but then also perhaps a second title like Cobra?
Yes, I had thought that would happen. If not that, then in addition to the main G.I. Joe book, regular additional miniseries.
A regular second title of some description, even if it's perhaps not an ongoing all the time.
Because, you know, you're a company, you pay so much for the license, and you have to pay a little bit per comic that you do produce, whether that's a flat fee or a percentage or both. I don't know the business deal, but you put up front all this money to get the license. And the more comics you make, or the more comics you sell, the faster you pay that off and you make your money. And so, you know, in a certain, you know, in the 80s, Hasbro's payment for the license was minimal. I don't think it was zero, but it wasn't sort of a normal, like, large amount, because Hasbro saw Marvel Comics as such a partner. So, you know, it makes financial sense for Skybound, sort of as many books as they can get out without saturating. And, you know, there already is a book coming in the continued Real American Hero. So I think if that weren't going, I think we might be seeing one or two more Energon Joe books happening around now. And, you know, we think back to IDW's launch in 2007. And, you know, at the beginning, three books felt right. And then 2 years in, three books felt like too many for many people.
Postbox Pit. This is where you can send in your thoughts. Mark and Tim will hear it, and then we'll discuss it. It's really nice to hear from our biggest fans. Mark from the future here, recording after I had done talking with Tim. Over on the Talking Joe Facebook group, I asked people what they thought of this latest announcement. Range of reactions: Scotty Cameron saying, "I'm interested to see where these series go. I will definitely add them to my pull." Josh Egerbean thinking about the canon. So he was saying they should keep Arashikage clan close to what has already been established. They should keep in the Hardmaster Death. It sounds like similar to the Spider-Verse. Josh considers that a canon event that should be the same across all universes. He said he didn't mind if Destro ends up being a robot or a transformer. Scott says he's excited and he's been enjoying the Energon universe so far. Kenny says they look pretty cool. Duke and Cobra Commander have been interesting reads, and he's expecting that will continue with these books. Jay says he's not a fan of Kelly Thompson, so he might sit that one out. Grant says that the Destro comic looks promising, like the others so far. A bit worried about Scarlet. Doesn't sound like he's a fan of the writer's work on Captain Marvel. Elle says, "I have enjoyed everything Skybound has done with the Energon universe so far. At this point, if they made an Ice Cream Soldier mini series, I'd be looking forward to it." And then we also got a voice message from Talking Joe founder, The Chief. Let's hear what he has to say.
Oh, it's me, Chief D.O.G., the OG player from the TJ crew. Listen, my question is this. Do G.I. Joe / Energon fans, will they read any kind of book that comes out in that universe, or are they creative specific? What I mean is, does it have to be a writer or artist that you like, or will you, Joe fans, go in blind on a book even if you potentially don't like those creative teams or don't know those creative teams? How deep does your G.I. Joe blood run? What will you do to read that book? That is my question.
Thanks, Chief, and a really good question as well. I know you're a fan of Dan Waters as a writer, but probably less known by the standard G.I. Joe comics fan. He's actually a creator not on my radar. I think you're going to get those fans who are just primarily G.I. Joe fans rather than comics fans more widely, and they'll just buy any G.I. Joe comic that comes out. And that's probably the core fan that we had at the towards the later years of IDW, where we were only that they were only selling a small number of comics, and that was from the hardcore G.I. Joe comics fans. You've then kind of got the reawakened kind of audience who may be more familiar with the property, and this shot in the arm has sort of got them on board, but they're only gonna, you know, give it that time and attention as long as they continue to enjoy it and think that it's a high quality of content. So they're gonna have to get decent creators on board to just, you know, make the story and art as good as it can be, even if those potentially aren't creators that the audience are familiar with. And you know, I'll get everything anyway, but I'm slightly in that mindset that even if there's a creator that I don't yet know, that I would trust that Skybound are curating a sort of a stable of creators who are gonna be doing an excellent job or in a sort of at the top tier of their game. So even if I don't know them, I'll have a level of confidence that they will deliver. And it's on Skybound then to make sure that they are delivering. And if there's any duds in there, then people are going to waver and they're going to think, well, if not everything is great out of the box, then maybe I'll be more careful about what I collect. And then there's probably an element of people who aren't really so familiar with G.I. Joe at all and are brought on board by their faith in the creators. So that sort of is borne out a little in the letter pages that we've seen in the Energon universe, where people are giving G.I. Joe a try for the first time on the basis of it being from Skybound or being from a writer like Josh Williamson, who they've been reading. And I saw some of the reactions to Kelly Thompson's Substack blog post sort of illustrating that a little bit. There was a few funny posts. There was someone who said, as somebody who admittedly doesn't know much of this universe, I can wholeheartedly say I cannot wait for this. Excited to dip my toes into these stories. Another said, I don't know anything about Scarlet or G.I. Joe, but I'm excited to see what fun you can have with this crossbow-toting firebrand. Through to this one, who said, for the uninitiated, who is Scarlet? And also, is Snake Eyes the other woman that's on the cover? So people who don't know G.I. Joe at all, potentially sort of getting it on their radar and potentially giving it a try and growing the audience. And, you know, if they like one of these books, then they're more likely to give another a try. So that's my high-level thought.
Yo, Talking Joe. Hey, guys, this is Shane. I am calling in response to the question the chief asked about, would I buy these books regardless of the creators, or would I buy the books based on the creators? And my answer is kind of both. I'm all in on Energon Universe. I love what they're doing. The stories are fresh and extremely entertaining, but they're still familiar. Familiar characters, environments, concepts. On top of that, now we're getting creators that I already love as a comic book fan. I'm getting Steve Epting variant covers. I love Steve Epting since his days on Avengers with Bob Harris. Tom Riley is doing a phenomenal job on Duke. I couldn't be any happier with that. I hope he comes back to do more G.I. Joe down the road. Paul Pelletier, I know that's Real American Hero and not Energon Universe, but I've loved his artwork and I've been a fan of his forever. Now, Kelly Thompson on Scarlet. I loved her Black Widow. I'm really enjoying her Birds of Prey series. I get all the characters, stories, concepts that I love now with creators that I love.
Thanks to Shane there for responding to a question that the chief raised on the Facebook group. Now, returning to Mark in the present, who's about to ask Tim something. Any final thoughts before we close this one out?
I look forward to carrying these at my store, to reading them as a fan, and talking about them with you on the show.
Very good. Yeah, I'm particularly looking forward to Scarlet. I know that Kelly Thompson is a very highly regarded writer, and I've certainly enjoyed what I have read of her work. The other creators I'm less familiar with, but of course, always ready to give something a try. So if you enjoyed that discussion of what is to come, you might enjoy our discussion of the rest of the Skybound universe. We've just released our Duke issues 2 and 3. Review coming soon will be Cobra Commander issue 2 and 3 discussion together. We're continuing to cover A Real American Hero as it comes out, as well as dip into other aspects of G.I. Joe comics along the way.
Mark and I can assure you that 99% of our episodes are us actually talking about what we've read and not reading press releases to you, dear listener.
Very good. This literally came out as we started recording. Okay, so until next time, we're done. And Tim, take us away, because...
Nobody beats Talking Joe, an international podcast!
Laters.